Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today Masechah Shavuos, Daf Mem Zayin, the seventh parak, Koh HaNishbayin. So the three daf we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah taught that if both litigants are suspect regarding Shavuos, Rabbi Yossi holds Chazra HaShvulim Koma, the oath returns to its place, and Rabbi Meir says they divide the disputed amount evenly. The Gemara here ultimately reverses the opinions and discusses the opinion that the Shavuot returns to its place. Rabbi Ami said, Rabbi Sena Shababavo, our teachers in Babel, identified as Rav and Shmuel, hold Chazur Shavuot with Sinai. The Shavuot returns to Sinai, meaning no one swears and the defendant does not pay, but is beholden to the Shavuot sworn at Har Sinai not to steal, and whoever does will be punished. Rabbi Sena Shbeeretz Yisrael, our teachers in Eretz Yisrael, identified as Rabbi Abba holds Chazur Shavuot with the Shavuot returns to the one obligated to make it, meaning the Nitba, who was originally liable to swear. Since he can't swear because he's suspect, and his opponent also cannot swear, he must pay. Rabbi Abba ruled this way in the incident of Naskad Rabbi Abba, cited also on Daf Lamed Beis, where he said, anyone is obligated to make a Shavuot and is not able to swear, must pay. Point number two, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Hei Amanov taught that a chenveni al pinkaso, a storekeeper regarding his ledger, may swear and collect. This means that if an employer told a storekeeper to pay his workers, and the chenveni claims he did so, but the workers claim they weren't paid, both parties swear to support their claim and collect from the employer, resulting in his paying twice. In a brisa, Rebbe said, Torah Shavua Zo Lama, what is the purpose of the burden of this Shavua, where someone will definitely swear falsely? Rechi responded that Rebbe himself taught in the Mishnah, Shneim Nishmayim Venoitum Mebahabais, both of them swear and collect from the homeowner. The Gemara asks if Rebbe accepted this reply and presents a brisa in which Rebbe said, Poin Nishmayim Lechemini, the workers swear to the storekeeper. If Rebbe had retracted to his position in the Mishnah, they would swear to the Bahabais. Rama answers that Rebbe meant that the workers swear to the Baal Bais in the presence of the Chemveni, so they will be ashamed from him and not swear falsely, since he knows the truth. And point number three, if two pairs of witnesses contradict each other, Rav Huna says, Zobal b'fnei asma u'me'ida, this pair may come alone and testify in another court case, v'zobal b'fnei asma u'me'ida, and that pair may come alone and testify elsewhere. Neither is disqualified because they retain their assumed reliability out of doubt. Rav Chisda said, Bahadi sahadi shakri lamali, why should I be involved with lying witnesses? Neither pair can testify against, since one of them definitely lied. This machlokas applies where the two shtaros record two different lenders lending money to two different borrowers, each signed by one of the pairs of eidim, meaning Rav Huna would accept both shtaros and Rav Chisda would disqualify both out of doubt. If both shtaros were from one lender to one borrower, Rav Huna agrees one shtar is invalid and Rav Chisda agrees that one is valid and the lender may only collect the smaller of the two amounts. If there are two lenders and one borrower, the law parallels that of chenveni al pinkaso and both lenders may collect despite one shtar being invalid. If there are two borrowers and one lender, it's unresolved if he can collect both or neither since one is invalid. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Mishnah taught that if both litigants are suspect regarding Shavuos, Rabbi Yossi holds Chazur HaShvulim Koma, the oath returns to its place, and Rabbi Meir says they divide the disputed amount evenly. The Gemara here ultimately reverses the opinions and discusses the opinion that the Shavuot returns to its place. Rabbi Ami said, Rabbi Sena Shababavo, our teachers in Babel identified as Rav and Shmuel, hold Chazur Shavuot with Sinai. The Shavuot returns to Sinai, meaning no one swears and the defendant does not pay, but is beholden to the Shavuot sworn at Har Sinai not to steal, and whoever does will be punished. Rabbi Sena Shbeeretz Yisrael, our teachers in Eretz Yisrael, identified as Rabbi Abba holds Chazur Shavuot with the Shavuot returns to the one obligated to make it, meaning the Nitba, who was originally liable to swear. Since he can't swear because he's suspect, and his opponent also cannot swear, he must pay. Rabbi Abba ruled this way in the incident of Naskad Rabbi Abba, cited also on Daf Lamed Beis, where he said, anyone is obligated to make a Shavuot and is not able to swear, must pay. Point number two, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Hei Amanov taught that a chenveni al pinkaso, a storekeeper regarding his ledger, may swear and collect. This means that if an employer told a storekeeper to pay his workers, and the chenveni claims he did so, but the workers claim they weren't paid, both parties swear to support their claim and collect from the employer, resulting in his paying twice. In a brisa, Rebbe said, Torah Shavua Zo Lama, what is the purpose of the burden of this Shavua, where someone will definitely swear falsely? Rechi responded that Rebbe himself taught in the Mishnah, Shneim Nishmayim Venoitum Mebahabais, both of them swear and collect from the homeowner. Gemara asks if Rebbe accepted this reply and presents a brisa in which Rebbe said, the workers swear to the storekeeper. If Rebbe had retracted to his position in the Mishnah, they would swear to the Baal Bias. Rama answers that Rebbe meant that the workers swear to the Baal Bias in the presence of the Chemveni, so they will be ashamed from him and not swear falsely, since he knows the truth. And point number three, if two pairs of witnesses contradict each other, Rav Huna says, Zoba b'fnei atzma u'me'ida, this pair may come alone and testify in another court case, Zoba b'fnei atzma u'me'ida, and that pair may come alone and testify elsewhere. Neither is disqualified because they retain their assumed reliability out of doubt. Rav Chisda said, Bahadi sahadi shakri lamali, why should I be involved with lying witnesses? Neither pair can testify again since one of them definitely lied. This machlokas applies where the two shtaros record two different lenders lending money to two different borrowers, each signed by one of the pairs of eidim, meaning Rav Huna would accept both shtaros and Rav Chisda would disqualify both out of doubt. If both shtaros were from one lender to one borrower, Rav Huna agrees one shtar is invalid and Rav Chisda agrees that one is valid and the lender may only collect the smaller of the two amounts. If there are two lenders and one borrower, the law parallels that of Chenvani al Pinkaso, and both lenders may collect despite one shtar being invalid. If there are two borrowers and one lender, it's unresolved if he can collect both or neither since one is invalid. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Mem Zayin, and our standard Siman is a maze. A maze. So here goes. The man in the guard tower at the maze watched as a pair of Bali Din disqualified from making a shvuah searched for the proper place to put back the shvuah. While in the middle of the maze at the amazing maze store, some workers and the store owner were both swearing and collecting from a Baal Bias. And at the exit, two pairs of Adim who contradicted each other were exiting to say their own Adas, each about something else. Once again, slow motion. The man in the guard tower at the maze, that must be run off. Mem Zion. The man in the guard tower at the maze watched as a pair of Bali Din disqualified from making a shvuah search for the proper place to put back the shvuah, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if both litigants are suspect regarding shvuahs, Rabbi Yossi holds, Chazra HaShvulim Koma, the oath returns to its place, and Mer says they divide the disputed amount evenly. The Gemara here ultimately reverses the opinions and discusses the opinion that the shvuah returns to its place. Rabbi Ami said, Rav Hosseinu Shabbat Bavel, our teachers in Bavel, identified as Rav and Shmuel, hold, Chazra Shvuah LeSinai. The shvuah returns to Sinai, meaning no one swears, and the defendant does not pay, but is beholden to the shvuah, sworn at Har Sinai not to steal, and whoever does will be punished. Rav Hosseinu Shabbat Eretz Yisrael, our teachers in Eretz Yisrael, identified as Rabbi Abba, holds, Chazra Shvuah LeMechuyavah. The shvuah returns to the one obligated to make, meaning the nitba, who was originally liable to swear. So the man in the guard tower at the maze watched as a pair of Bali Din disqualified from making a shvuah, searched for the proper place to put back the shvuah. While in the middle of the maze at the amazing maze store, some workers and the store owner were both swearing and collecting from a Baal Bias, which reminds us the Mishnah and Daf Mem Hei Amarav taught that a Chenveni al Picasso, a storekeeper, regarding his ledger, may swear and collect. This means that if an employer told a storekeeper to pay his workers and the Chenveni claims he did so, but the workers claim they were not paid, both parties swear to support their claim and collect from the employer, resulting in his paying twice. So the man in the guard tower at the maze watched as a pair of Bali Din disqualified from making a shvuah, searched for the proper place to put back the shvuah. While in the middle of the maze at the amazing maze store, some workers and the store owner were both swearing and collecting from a Baal Bias. And at the exit, two pairs of Adim who contradicted each other were exiting to say their own Adas each about something else, which reminds us, if two pairs of Adim contradict each other, Rav Huna says this pair may come alone and testify in another court case, and that pair may come alone and testify elsewhere. Neither is disqualified because they retain their assumed reliability out of doubt. Rav Chisda said, Bahadi sahadi shakri lamali, why would I be involved with lying witnesses? Neither pair can testify again since one of them definitely lied. So once again, the man in the guard tower at the maze watched as a pair of Bali Din disqualified from making a shvuah, searched for the proper place to put back the shvuah. While in the middle of the maze at the amazing maze store, some workers and the store owner were both swearing and collecting from a Baal Bias. And at the exit, two pairs of Adim contradicted each other, were exiting to say their own Adas each about something else. All right, so now it's time for Four Blabach Chazara. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The lender who said he gave the borrower magazines, that must be more on Daf Mem Gimel. The lender said he gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window, which reminds us, modem mixes requires admitting to a defined amount, such as one who claims the produce filled the house at a ziz, up into the ceiling beam, and the nitba responds it was only filled at a chalon, until the window. So the lender said he gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window. Didn't notice that on top of the pile was Lost Mashkon magazine covering the topic of who swears regarding its value, which reminds us, in a dispute about the value of a Lost Mashkon, the lender swears because perhaps the borrower will swear to the Mashkon's value, and he may err in his assessment, and this lender will produce the deposit, and the borrower will become disqualified for Eidus and Shvuas. So the lender who gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window, didn't notice that on top of the pile was Lost Mashkon magazine, covering the topic of who swears regarding its value, which was next to a lost sickle handle mashkon that a lender lost, which resulted in his not being able to collect the 1,000 zuz that he had lent, which reminds us, Shmuel taught that if one lent 1,000 zuz, and the borrower gave a handle of a sickle of little value as a mashkon, avakata de magla of it apazuze, if he lost the sickle handle, he lost 1,000 zuz because he could not collect it if he does not return the mashkon. However, if the mashkon was 2 sickles and he lost one, we do not consider each handle as against half the loan, rather he merely deducts his actual value from the loan. Daf mem dalad, so the simmer daf mem dalad is mud. So here goes. The borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks, that must be on Duff Mem Dalad, mud. The borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, which reminds us, Rabbi Yitzchak Darshan, Uchat Yet Stoka, and for you it will be a charitable act when you return the mashkon as needed. Im eno kona mashkon tzedaka minayin lo. If the lender does not acquire the mashkon, why would returning it be a charitable act? Mikano bal chov shekona mashkon. From here we see that a creditor acquires a mashkon. So the borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, and disappointed to learn that Shemitah does not cancel his loan because of them, which reminds us, Habraisa teaches that if one lends money with a mashkon and Shemitah arrived, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Afu b'sheino shava el apalga, even though the mashkon is only worth half the loan, Shemitah does not cancel the loan. The prohibition to collect a loan after Shemitah is oyigos, do not press, and pressing for payment is unnecessary when he has a mashkon. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says that if the mashkon is worth the full value of the loan is not canceled, otherwise it is canceled. So the borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, and disappointed to learn that Shemitah does not cancel his loan because of them, was suddenly approached by a hired worker covered in mud who swore he hadn't been paid for stacking those very bricks and had rights to be paid on the spot. Which reminds us, the seventh parak begins, Kol nishbain shebatorah nishbain v'lo mishalmin. All those who swear midaraisa swear and do not pay, meaning the defendant swears to avoid paying. The Gemara derives this from v'lachach ba'ala v'lo yishalem. Its owner shall accept the shvua, and the shomer shall not pay, teaching misha ala v'lo shalem lo shvua. The one who is potentially responsible to pay is the one with the shvua obligation to avoid paying. The Mishnah continues, ve'elon nishbain v'notlin. But these swear and collect based on a rabbinic decree. Hasachir, a hired worker, a nigzal, a nechbal, shkenegdo chashudal, one whose opposing litigant is suspect about swearing falsely, the chenveni alpin kaso, and a storekeeper regarding his ledger. The Mishnah explains that if a hired worker claims his wages and the employer says he paid, the worker can swear and collect payment. Daf mem hei. So the symbol for daf mem hei is manishtana. So here goes. At the Pesach supermarket, the kids sang manishtana, manishtana. That must be on daf mem hei. At the Pesach supermarket, the kids sang, Ma nishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answered because the boss was preoccupied with his employees, which reminds us. The Mishnah taught that if a sakhir, a hired worker, claims he was not yet paid, and the employer says he already paid him, the sakhir swears and collects his wages. The Gemara ultimately explains, Baalbai's taru, the employer is preoccupied with his workers and may mistakenly think he paid when he did not. Therefore, the rabbis allowed the employee to swear he was not paid and collect. The Gemara asks that if so, he should not even need to swear, and answers, Kedei lahapis daitzer shel baal habayis, to appease the mind of the employer, who would be frustrated if the employee could simply claim he was not paid and collect. So at the Pesach supermarket, the kid's saying, Ma nishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answer, because the boss was preoccupied with his employees. Followed by Ma nishtana again, why can't these two workers swear? And point to one who came after payday, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, if a sacher can swear and collect his wages because the employer is preoccupied with his workers, why does the Braisa state, Avar zmanavu nasanlo, once the time for payment has passed and he claims the employer has still not paid him, he cannot swear and collect? It explains, Chazaka ein ba'al bayis over b'bal talin. There is a presumption that an employer does not violate the prohibition to delay payment overnight. So at the Pesach supermarket, the kid's saying, Ma nishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answer, because the boss was preoccupied with his employees. Followed by Ma nishtana again, why can't these two workers swear? And pointed to one who came after payday and another who wasn't hired in front of Edim, which reminds us, Shmuel said that a sacher can only swear and collect where he was hired in the presence of Edim. Otherwise, since the employer could have said to him, I never hired you, he is also able to say to him, I hired you, but I paid your wages, and is believed that he clearly remembers having paid. Daf Mem Vav. So the simmer Daf Mem Vav is a cow that goes moo. So here goes. While the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow, that must be on Daf Mem Vav. Moo. While the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow instead of the two slime, the worker says, was stipulated, which reminds us, Shmuel is asked, if the worker says, shtaim kadsatzteli, you stipulate to pay me wages of two slime, and the employer claims he only agreed to pay one sella, who swears? He answered that the employer swears and the sacher loses because although an employer may forget if he paid his worker, people certainly remember the stipulation amount. However, Yehuda taught that a worker swears and collects even in such a case, provided the employer admits he still owes him part of the amount claimed. So, while the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow, instead of the two slime the worker says was stipulated, and the rancher swore that his creditor entered his barn without permission and took his cowbell, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that a nigzal may swear and collect and gives an example of a creditor who entered one's house to seize a mashkin without permission, and the homeowner claims that the creditor took his kalim. The alleged nigzal can swear that his kalim were taken and collect payment. So, while the farmer swore he only owes his farmhand one sella for milking his cow, instead of the two slime the worker says was stipulated, and the rancher swore that his creditor entered his barn without permission and took his cowbell, a man who was seen entering the milkman's house and hiding bottles in his clothing was not believed to say he purchased them because five conditions had been met. Which reminds us, Rav Yehuda says that if Edim saw someone enter another person's house and hide utensils in his clothing and leave, he could not claim he bought them. However, this only applies where five conditions are met. The first two being, number one, the homeowner does not ordinarily sell his kalim, and number two, these kalim are not ordinarily hidden when carried in public. Alright, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf did we discuss when a mashkon is lost? Who swears regarding his value, the lender or the borrower? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which daf did you discuss if two pairs of witnesses contradict each other, whether each pair may come alone and testify in another court case? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you know that a sacher cannot swear and collect once the time for payment has passed? That's on daf Mem Hey. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you discuss what is the din when a mashkon worth far less than the loan is lost? For example, a sickle handle given as a mashkon. That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn about those who are nishmoyim v'notwin, those who swear and collect based on rabbinic decree, one of them being a hired worker? That's on daf Mem Dalet. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we discuss claiming payment for a shtar was sitroi, a side debt? That's on daf Mem Beis. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we discuss the case of Chenveni al Pinkaso? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we machokas about a mashkon preventing Shemitah from canceling a loan? That's on daf Mem Dalet. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you discuss if both parties are chashed regarding making shvuas and the meaning of chazra hashvua limkoma? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you discuss differences between a shvuah deraisa and a shvuah derabanan, one being that a nitva can reverse the shvuah and make the toveya swear to collect? That's on daf Mem Aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.